Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
I came across an article recently. It was bemoaning the fact that people no longer seek change from psychotherapists like they once did. People in a day gone by apparently went to see their analyst all the time to help them change themselves, to see old patterns of thought or behavior modified, overturned, exiled, transformed. But in recent years, the article said, people seek counseling not to change themselves, but to figure out how to change others. They view professional help less as renewal and more as a rebranding experience. I wonder if people don't view faith in God in the same manner. If they look at the Christian faith as a way only to help them cope when it should help them hope. They look at Christianity only to navigate the twists and turns of life to get a better version of their old self, but they're not really being transformed, experiencing that metamorphosis, that great change. You see, the true Christian faith is not a coping mechanism. The Christian faith has a far greater objective. It's the complete destruction and annihilation of your past and who you once were, and a total transformation into the person God wishes for you to be. It's not even you living a better life. It's your old life coming to an end in Christ living through you. All things pass away. Behold, everything is new. It's a total change, a complete transformation. My name is Ken Gurley, and here on Daily Devotions this week, I'm talking about building hope, and there's one hope I want you to get a hold of, and that's you can change. Wilbur Reese wrote in his book, $3 Worth of God, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or to disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk, a snooze in the sunshine. Wilbur Reese wrote, I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of a womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. And that is sadly the common desire of the day. Exhilaration, goosebumps, ecstasy, chills, but no change. Yet I sense, this is what I sense in the spirit, that people truly are hungry for change, true change, lasting change. The change where you enter into the land of beginning again, where you drop yesterday's habits, yesterday's life, yesterday's destructive mindsets and memories, and you step into not a rebranding, but a brand new day. I believe people want change. They want transformation. If you're that person, or if you know that person, I want to talk to you about it today. Let me encourage you that you can change, but it's not going to be through your own willpower. It's not going to be through the right connections. It's going to come through an external intervention. It will also be marked by an internal willingness. Let me give you a few steps here. First, it begins with grace and truth. Jesus Christ came to us, John 1 tells us, full of grace and truth. True transformational change knows no other recipe, grace plus truth over time. That's the roux. That's the basic beginning for the gumbo of a changed life. You don't believe it? Then look at other recipes and see how they fall flat. Is it philosophy, the pursuit of happiness? No. Only the author of life can truly rewrite your story. Only Christ in you, the hope of glory. Only Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, can recraft a narrative and help us begin again. She thought she was calling a Christian counselor. Auburn Sandstrom was her name, a woman who had come to the end of her rope, curled in a fetal position, laying on filthy carpet in a cluttered apartment. In withdrawals from a drug addiction, she clutched a piece of paper on which her mother had given her the phone number for a Christian counselor. She knew she had to get clean. She knew she couldn't do it by herself. So in desperation, at 2 a.m, she dialed the number, and she heard a man answer and say, hello. And Auburn said, my mom gave me this number. Do you think you could talk to me? He said, well, yes, of course. What's going on? She told him, I'm scared. My marriage has gotten bad. And the truth began to pour out of her. And all the while, she heard the voice on the other end of the line saying, oh, that must have hurt very much. Tell me more. Hours passed. The night gave way to morning. By then, Auburn was feeling so much calmer. The panic had passed. She knew she was going to be okay as the sun rose. She said to the man, thank you. I really appreciate what you've done to help me. How long have you been a Christian counselor? There was a long pause on the other end of the line, and he said, Auburn, please don't hang up, but I need to tell you something. She promised she wouldn't hang up. He said, I'm almost afraid to tell you this, and he paused again. He said, but you dialed a wrong number. I'm not a counselor, but I'm so glad I was able to take your call. Auburn said in the moment, she didn't think to get his name. She would never speak to him again. But all day, that day, she felt like she was shining. Out of all of the numbers she could have called, God led her to the person who would hear and help her. It's in the deepest and blackest of nights. Auburn, who would later become a writing instructor, she wrote these words. In the deepest and blackest night of my despair, I realize if you can just get one pinhole of light, then all of grace rushes in. Don't you see? It all begins with grace and truth. It begins with an outside force saying, I'm here. I can help. It's not human Lent. It's a divine bent. That God is predisposed to help and strengthen, that God loves, that his forever character is love. He loves. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. God is love. You can change, but it begins with an outside influence, grace and truth over time. There's a second element I alluded to in Auburn's story. Repent and believe the gospel. That's more than a line quoted here and there. These are the first two foundational stones of a changed life. In Hebrews 6, we're taught that there are six basic principles of the New Testament church. And the first two are repentance from dead works and faith towards God. That repentance and faith are the two sides of the same coin. Repentance is turning from, and faith is turning to. Repentance from dead works. The gospel begins with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is our recognition of this supreme sacrifice. We figuratively die to ourselves, and we die to our past. We die to our former identity, that our life may be hidden in Christ Jesus. In the Bible, there's a phrase that I love, repentance unto life. It was uttered at a crucial time in early church history, Acts chapter 11. Simon Peter is defending his actions that he had been summoned by none other than heaven to preach to Cornelius and his household, all of these Gentiles, that God was so pleased that the Holy Spirit fell on them. And Simon Peter looked around and asked, can any man forbid water? And so he went ahead and baptized them in the name of the Lord. It caused an upheaval in the church. So after explaining to the church in Jerusalem what happened, people began to realize it was the hand of God and said, God has granted the Gentiles repentance unto life. That's a shorthand version of our obedience to the gospel. What begins with repentance and is carried forward through water and spirit baptism, the other elements of man's response to the gospel, it's all repentance unto life. It's a repentance from dead works. It's a repentance unto life itself. That true repentance will cause you to renounce your yesterday, follow the plan of salvation, and embrace your tomorrow. Until recently, no one knew exactly what happened inside of a cocoon or chrysalis. A recent National Geographic study with micro CT scans show just how a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. Metamorphosis is this radical change in form and function. Many animals go through a process like that, frogs, urchins, wasps, beetles. But the one we're most familiar with is the caterpillar as it becomes a butterfly. How that change comes, how that makeover takes place, scientists have only begun to grasp it. But it's a miracle of what happens within that chrysalis that the research shows the makeover is a mix. It's a mix of the destruction of old ways combined with new ways of being. To quote the study, certain cells die and body parts atrophy. Meanwhile, other cells in place since birth begin to grow and expand, and the adult emerges completely remodeled and capable of flight, possessing a completely rewired brain. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away and everything is new. Why? Because you see things in a new way. Grace and truth have come into your life. There's a great change through repentance and faith. And then you see the shaping and changing into what God meant for you to be. The Bible terms are redemption, justification, sanctification, whereby you become a new person. And each and every day you can be renewed in your mind and change. Do you know how happy that makes me? That I can share with you exactly what the Apostle Peter preached to Cornelius on the day of Pentecost. That there is a message of change, that you can repent and believe the gospel. Other institutions can provide services to help you, but the church offers the gospel that can transform you. What starts with grace and truth and continues with repentance and believing the gospel, it culminates in a brand new life. Perhaps the reason people aren't seeking change like they once did from analysts is that they weren't seeing the lasting change they desired. You and I can see that. We can see it in what Jesus does in our lives, a metamorphosis, not a better you, but a new you. It's what George Weigel in a Wall Street Journal article called the Easter effect. He wrote that there is no accounting for the rise of Christianity without what they call the resurrection. He cites New Testament scholar N.T. Wright saying the first generation asked the question of why there were Christians with a straightforward answer, because Jesus was risen from the dead. As they worked that out, their thinking about a lot of things changed profoundly. The article mentions some of the positive outcomes brought to the ancient world through Christianity, a new dignity given to women, a self-denying health care provided to plague sufferers, a focus on family health and growth, a remarkable change in worship from Sabbath to Sunday, a willingness to embrace death as martyrs because they knew that death did not have the final word in the human story, living as if they knew the outcome of history itself. Weigel suggests that it's only through what he called the Easter effect that these changes make sense. Yes, the hope of change is found in resurrection, that power that brought death to life. And that power exists right now to change your life. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're struggling with, understand that it's grace plus truth over time, an outside intervention and an inside willingness. You can change.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.